वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुशुद्धपदकमलं श्रीगुरुवैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सार्धजातं रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साधवैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां श्री विशाखावितं हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि वाचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे चैतन्य महाप्रभु नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम पदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने श्री गुरु गौरक्षे नमः आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्ट टू बेसिस एंड सुप्रीम लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य who is more ignoramus than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely that no one else is given, and that is Krishna prema. Krishna varnam tisha krishnam sangh bango astra parshadam yagnai sankirtana prayair ijanti sumedasa. The age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship incarnation of Godhead constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Now, the prayers to the six persons of Vrindavan. नानाशास्त्रविचारणैकनिपुणौ षड्धर्मसंस्थापकौ लोकानामहितकारिणौ त्रिभुवने मान्यौ शरण्याकरौ राधाकृष्णपदारविन्दभजना आनन्देन मत्तनारघुयुगौ श्रीजीवतो बालकौ Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances to the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopala Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizing and studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate नरो चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरयत् नष्टप्रायेष्वः भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत्सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय श्री Hare Krishna. गुरु परंपरा by Shri Radha and Krishna. So we are very, very fortunate that today six Sandarbhas named Shri Tattva Sandarbha. So today, actually completed last week our 17th lesson. Today, 18th lesson, what we'll attempt to do is to get the highlights, take home messages of especially the second part. First part, the Tattva Sandarbha is actually two parts. The first part is Pramana Khanda, which is the epistemological, is the means to acquire valid knowledge. That's where Shri Jiva Goswami establishes that Srimad Bhagavatam fits all the criteria for that. So that is the means of acquiring valid knowledge of the ultimate reality, or the absolute truth, Bhagavan Shri Krishna. So that we already reviewed when we completed that section before we started the Pramaya Khanda, the second part, which is about the object of knowledge as determined by Srimad Bhagavatam's Vedic authority. So we did review of the Pramana Khanda. So today we'll just hit the, we'll recap or rehash just the major highlights. So to just bring you up to date. And then we will review the highlights of the Pramaya Khanda that we completed last week. What did we learn from the Pramana Khanda? So that was the first eight verses. Pramana Khanda is Anuchedas, but Jiva Goswami calls Anucheda is actually the text or the sections of the Tattva Sandarbha. So the first 20 is devoted to this Pramana Khanda text. Now these are first eight texts are actually verses, but the rest of the Tattva Sandarbha is not verses, but in a pronounced form. So first eight verses are actually Shri Jiva Goswami invoking the auspicious invocation or the Mangala Charana. So in that eight verses, as you see in the first PowerPoint, Jiva Goswami actually offers his most respectful obeisances, homages to his teachers. That includes his two uncles and also his spiritual master at the same time, that is Sri Sanatana Goswami and Sri Rupa Goswami. And then also his teachers, he includes those teachers to Bhagavatam. And that is the great, great commentator of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the Sri Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and so on like that. The Kushida Swami is the pioneering commentator from whom we learned. And of course, he also pays homage to Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who actually started this work, but his notes were not complete and kind of in a kind of haphazard way. So he put together, and really he's, in fact, he's the real compiler of the six Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami. So then he offers prayers of course, his first prayer, the Mangalacharana, the very first one, to his worshipping deity and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, of course, the final eighth one. There actually also called Anubandha Chatushtaya. So that is where you see the second point related here. In addition, he explains why he's writing this book and what is the subject matter. Subject matter is Shri Krishna, of course, the absolute truth. And why he's writing the book and then defines its subject as well as the criteria of eligibility for readers. The eligibility for reading his book, studying this Shiksandarbhas, as I also mentioned, in a very inauguration class of the beginning of the Shiksandarbha, and that is that we all must be a devotee, at least attempting to be a pure devotee to the Lord, offering our spiritual obeisances and so on like that. So that is the prime requirement to be a serious student of Shiksandarbhas, you know. Otherwise, we have no right, as he says very clearly at the very start. And then he, from text 9 through 18, he goes upon establishing which is the right way of acquiring or determining the means of acquiring valid knowledge. That we can really rely upon that. And the knowledge we aim to gather is about the absolute truth, the ultimate reality, Bhagavan Shri Krishna, which transcends that. Right at the beginning, he rules out the humans, because we all humans in the condition to stay have these four inherent defects. That prevents us from acquiring valid knowledge independent of our own independent efforts. So then he lists, according to Shastra, there are 10 means of valid means of knowing. The best one he comes up, it's called Abhavishya Shabda Pramana. Abhavishya means that is not of human origin, that is divine origin. Shabda Pramana, that is the sun, and that is material. And that's where he makes the start of that. You know? So the next PowerPoint. So in the Veda, why he says that? And what are its... Veda's limitation also he states that, you know. So the next PowerPoint. So Vedas, well, that are the highest authority, but Jiva Goswami recommends the Puranas. Why so? Because Vedas have limitations. First of all, the Vedic literature, the Vedic Vedas, the original Vedas, the four Vedas, are not available in its original form. It's in a truncated form, you know. So that's why, and then they are cryptic in the sense many persons to understand. It's not like it's spoken Sanskrit, you know. So, and the third point, it no longer can be learned due to lack of authorized teachers, because there are very strict rules of pronunciation of Vedic verses. If you make a little wrong pronunciation, it will carry a completely different meaning, you know. So that's the reason Jiva Goswami recommends the Puranas, Itihas, that is the history, that is Mahabharata and Ramayana. So this is what he recommends. And why? Because that Puranas also have from the lotus mouth of Lord Shri Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead, you know, through Lord Brahma at the time of creation. Brahmaji is the first living entity. But unlike the Vedas, Puranas are also easily understood, because they are in the Laukic Sanskrit, that is the everyday spoken Sanskrit language, a very common language spoken and understood. So it's easy. To understand Purana. And such also it has a universal availability, universal accessibility for the Puranas. But like the Vedas, Puranas also have difficulties or limitations. What are they? There are built-in contradictions. There are certain Puranas talk about
the Supreme Personality regarded as Lord Brahma, some considered as Lord Shiva, and some considered as Lord Vishnu, while there are others who consider even the Shakti, Mata, you know, Matadevi, Amba. So that's the built-in contradictions are there. And most of them also lack a disciplined succession, you know. So because of that, and of course, so that's why these Puranas are according to the modes of material nature, they are divided. There are 18 Mahapuranas, 6 Puranas each in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Puranas, there are 6 Puranas. But even the mode of goodness, there is material mode of goodness. So even there also he makes further cut that. So after the process of elimination, he finally proposes Srimad Bhagavatam as the most suitable or reliable Purana for further investigation. So now he subjects the Srimad Bhagavatam to very strict scrutiny, and he sets a criteria, all this criteria, that it should be easily available, it should be easily understood, it should be available in its original form, 18,000 verses in today's society, and so on like that. You know. So all this criteria fits perfectly Srimad Bhagavatam. So now Srimad Bhagavatam is the epistemological validity. And I explained to you earlier, epistemology is actually the means of acquiring valid knowledge. You know. So the most authoritative Vedic literature is Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is indeed the ripened fruit of the desired tree of Vedic knowledge, Kalitam Phalam, the verse. And Srimad Bhagavatam is also based on Gayatri Mantra, which is the essence of all the Vedas, and it is a natural commentary that he writes perfectly well. So after having established Srimad Bhagavatam, so now onwards, he is going to rely on the authority of the statements mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, and then he's going to analyze further, and that's where he's going to start looking how to understand the ultimate reality, the absolute truth, through Srimad Bhagavatam. Then text 27 and 28, this is a kind of transition with Pramana Khanda to the next one, Prameya Khanda. That is where he sort of reveals his very basic approach. He shares with us his basic approach and how he is going to compile the 6 Sandarbhas. Tattva Sandarbha is actually the first one, is the smallest one, but it's nonetheless, it is not that least important. It is the very, very important Sandarbha. In fact, it is the introduction to the rest of the Sandarbhas. So, understanding Tattva Sandarbha is the most important for all of us. Before we proceed onwards, as we'll start beginning the next week, the module 2, the second Sandarbha is the one which is called Bhagavat Sandarbha. Yeah. So in text 27-28, he gives us how he's going to approach in compiling 6 Sandarbhas, and also he's letting us to know what sources he plans to refer to, and does his method of analysis race. And sometimes when that's not adequate, he will go to the other Acharya's commentaries also. But ultimately, he is to rely on Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam's commentary written by Sridhar Swami and so on like that. So that is the upshot of the Pramana Khanda. So now we begin reviewing Prameya Khanda. And here also, Prameya Khanda, again I am going to hit the highlights. And then during the discussion period, depending on what's your interest, we might zero it on in a particular area. Okay. So, what I see, personally what I saw in this Pramaya Khanda, there are basically two sections actually, broadly speaking. First one is text 29 to 49. That is where Jiva Goswami actually analyzes both Sukadeva Goswami's heart and that of Srila Vyasadeva. And based on Srila Vyasadeva's super cognitive samadhi, that's the backbone. Entire six sandarbhas is based on what Srila Vyasadeva actually saw, what he was revealed by Lord Shri Krishna, everything about him. So that's what he is going to deeply analyze that we saw through that, verse 29 to 49. So there, the most important point to remember here is that it is Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna, the original personality of Shri Godhead, Shri Krishna Godhead, Bhagavan Shri Krishna. He is the absolute truth, and he reveals from the very heart of both Srila Vyasadeva, who is the writer of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Shrinadeva Goswami is the first speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. And both comes to the same conclusion actually. So this mode of revelation, Krishna revealing directly within the very heart of these two personalities, that is called trans-empirical revelation. Trans-empirical means, empirical means this of this world. So this is beyond of this world, this is coming straight from the spiritual world, you know. And that's why Srila Vyasadeva actually compiled Srimad Bhagavatam after having seen all this thing, personally having seen all this thing. It was revealed by Krishna directly in his heart during his samadhi. So he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam so that we, in today's world, if we also properly study and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the real beautiful thing about, and all of you really note that point very clearly, that Krishna can also begin to reveal himself within our own hearts. If we, as we see, when we saw some key verses, how that describing what Vyasa saw in his samadhi, we should have a pure, unalloyed love for Krishna, completely free from all material contamination. So these are the criteria, prerequisites that we have to acquire. Then there is a hope that Krishna also can reveal within our own heart also. So we have to become a heart worthy recipient for Krishna to come within our heart, you know. So that's very most important point that first of all keep in our mind. And that ought to be our goal also in setting out to study these six sandarbhas, you know. That Jiva Goswami is helping us to understand the very essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the first part, verse text 29 to 49. Basically, that's the analysis. So actually, text 29 is about Sukadeva Goswami's heart, that revealing what is his analysis short. So that's only one text, and there is only one verse that Sukadeva Goswami speaks while he's glorifying Sukadeva Goswami. That happens to be the spiritual master of Sukadeva Goswami. So then it is 12:12. So we'll just go in a moment. So the second part of Pramaya Khanda, that is text 50 to the end of the Tathra Sandarbha 63, that is where, because there we learn that the what is that ultimate reality, what is the absolute truth, and that is the key verse, Jiva Goswami quotes, that is the key verse, that's the very backbone of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, actually the entire six sandarbhas, especially the verse, Vadanti, that verse will just now in a moment we'll discuss about it. But what that verse is about? So that is the verse which tells us what is exactly this ultimate truth. What is this ultimate reality, absolute truth? And that is this called Advaya Jnana. Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas. Vadanti, who are saying that? Tattva Vidas, those who are knowers of the truth. What are they saying? Tattvam, that science. Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam. So that Advaya Jnana, Jnana here is actually means consciousness, not knowledge but consciousness. And Advayam, there is one without a second. Now we spent fair amount of time in explaining what is Advayam, one without second. Differences are there actually. Svajatiya Bheda, Vijatiya Bheda, and the other third kind. So there's difference between the two articles of the same class, or the two articles of different class, or the difference between the whole versus its part. The absolute truth is free from all these three kinds of differences. So that's why one without second, Advayam. So then he is posing the question, what is the fundamental characteristic of that Advaya Jnana? Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas Tattvam Jnanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatma Yeti Brahmeti Paramatma Yeti Bhagavan Yeti Shabda Yeti. So that is three parts. That's the very beginning, first lesson that they are going to hear. Maybe next week onwards, this Bhagavad Sandarbha, and that begins with this particular verse actually. And so the absolute truth can be understood in three different ways, not three parts, okay? They are equal actually, but the three parts are Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahman is the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, and all pervading. We are going to talk a lot more about Brahman in the second section also. Then Paramatma is the localized parts of every living entity and every atom of the universe. And third, which is the complete realization, and that is Supreme Person, Bhagavan. You know, the Bhagavan is the Supreme Person. You know, he is a person. So, how do we understand each different aspects of this absolute truth? That is depending upon our own qualification. What is our capacity? We are not qualified to go to Paramatma realization. We just maybe Brahman realization, so on like that. So, Bhagavan realization is actually to be a devotee, you know, and that's a complete realization in great details when we begin next week. Okay, but in Tattva Sandarbha, so now Jiva Goswami is going to go further details. So, what is the characteristic, fundamental characteristics of this Advaya Jnana? That's what the question is asking, and how is he going to answer? By two ways, actually, that's just listed right here, part A and B. So, first, he is going to define. As defined by Sukadeva Goswami in the second canto by describing the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam as Mahapurana. You know, that is basically understanding how to understand this Advaya Jnana, the one without the second, supreme consciousness, eternal consciousness. That's what it is, the absolute truth. Through comparing, through first understanding, because we have no comprehension how the Supreme Consciousness is all about. So first we look at ourselves, because we are representative of that. We are being the tiny part and parcel atomic size of the Supreme Consciousness. So we also, as a living entity, as also the tiny consciousness part of it, you know. So we first understand our own. So that's what he answers that. And that's technically called VST, Nirdesha. Nirdesha means viewpoint. So viewpoint of just look individual consciousness versus the second one, the part B, is the totality of this cosmic manifestation, the universal terms, that's called samasti nirdesha. Samasti means samasta, samasta is entirety, totality. From that point, so both from a microcosmic, that's the individual consciousness, or the macrocosmic, from the entire cosmic manifestation. So that's where the 10 topics comes into play. And as described both by Sukadeva Goswami in the second canto, that very list, those 10 topics, but he lists 10 topics, but actually the first 9 topics are indeed for the purpose of actually explaining the 10th topic. And the 10th topic is this Ashray Tattva. First 9 topics, he talks about the cosmic manifestation, Sarga, Visarga, and maintenance and so on like that, you know, dissolution of the universe and so on like that. But the 10th topic, the Ashray Tattva, the supreme shelter, to understand that, the first 9 topics are there. So that's why you see the connection, to understand the supreme eternal consciousness, which is the Ashray Tattva, you need to understand the first 9 topics actually. And then ultimately our goal is to understand this, the Ashray Tattva, the supreme ultimate shelter, the ultimate absolute truth, you know. And then same way, looking at the Sudha Goswami. Sudha Goswami also, basically he says the same thing, but slightly from a different viewpoint. In fact, he also described the same 10 topics, but he calls by different names and in a different order. The first 9 topics are actually meant to explain the 10th topic, the Ashray Tattva, but he calls it by a different name, what he called Apashraya, Tad Apashraya. Tad Apashraya means, geez, that means that which is transcends. When you say Ashray Tattva, it could mean even the Maya. The Maya is the external potency, separated potency, yet supported by Krishna. So here, that's what Apa means, transcend. So it definitely means that Krishna is the supreme Ashraya of all living entities and the cosmic manifestation. Okay, so from two different angles, Sukadeva Goswami's and Sudha Goswami's angle, we are going to look at the second part, you know. So let's first talk about how Jiva Goswami analyzes first the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, and then in this only one verse, text 29, and then he goes by again, it's 12:69 by Sudha Goswami, glorifying Sudeva Goswami. So explaining Sudeva Goswami, the two phase of awakening of that, before and after he hears three verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, of course, text 30 to 49 is all about the Vyasadeva Samadhi, and the key verses he quotes, there are 5 verses he quotes actually. Actually, there are 8 verses, but the last 3 verses are actually in response to the questions of the sages of Naivisharanya, headed by Shravana Kriyanji, where he asked about why did Sukadeva Goswami bother when he was already fully self-realized. He was in Brahman realization, right from the womb of his mother, he was completely self-realized. Why did he bother to study Srimad Bhagavatam, such a vast and complex topic, 18,000 verses, from his father Vyasadeva? So in that response, Sudha Goswami answers, and he quotes this famous Atmanama verse, you know. And then the last one verse is about how Sukadeva Goswami is so dear to all the Vaishnavas, and all the Vaishnavas are so dear to Sukadeva Goswami also, you know. So, but the first 5 verses, they are the most important verses, that is from 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there are 5 verses. That pretty much describes what Srila Vyasadeva saw in his Samadhi, and that is the blueprint what he got in order to rewrite Srimad Bhagavatam, that as ordered by his which Master Narad Muni. So here, in this Bhavan, you see that Srila Jiva Goswami, so first part we'll go through that now, text 29 to 49. And again, my attempt here is to not go in tremendous details, but just the highlights, that this is a review class now. But you just remember the highlights, and depending on your interest, we can zero it on it further that. No? Mm. So Jiva, so this is a bird's eye view of it, okay? We are looking from the top-down view. So Jiva Goswami proceeds with this determination, Sambandha, Tattva, Abhidaya Tattva, and Prayojan Tattva. These are the basic tenets, the basic pillars on which the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy rests actually. Sambandha, that is the Sambandha Jnana, that is the knowledge of interrelationship between the jivas, the living entities, the iti, that is Maya, and then also the Paramatma, or the Ishvara, you know, interrelationship between these three. That is Sambandha Tattva. Abhidya Tattva, how to know that relationship by devotional service. In that relationship, you serve the Lord, you know, unalloyed. You know. So that is Abhidya Tattva. And that, when you perfected, then you reach the ultimate goal, that is Prayojana, and that is to develop Krishna Prema, the love of God, Krishna. So that is what to establish these three topics actually, you know. The science of Sambandha Jnana, science of Abhidya Tattva, and Prayojana Tattva. So here again, he does this thing, two parallel sections, as you see in this PowerPoint. By first, analyzes Sukadeva Goswami's part, the original speaker of Srimati Bhagavatam, how his consciousness gets transformed, you know, by before and after hearing Srimati Bhagavatam. Before he was in a completely full blissful state in Brahman realization, and that's where we heard Jiva Goswami describing his life story also. Still in the womb of his mother for 12 years, 16 years I think, and he wouldn't come out, so his father Vyasadeva had to summon Lord Shri Krishna, and Krishna had to personally come to the ashram of Vyasadeva from Dwarka and to assure Sukadeva Goswami within the womb that he will not be affected by his Maya potency. And that's when Sukadeva Goswami decided to come out. So he was already self-realized, already promised that he would not be subjected to Maya's influence. So that was his life story actually. So he, as soon as he was born, he was 60, he would went run into the forest, and his father went after that to call him back actually. Because the only purpose Srila Vyasadeva had in having Sukadeva Goswami as his son, to really, because he was the only worthy candidate to speak the Bhagavatam that he had compiled, you know, Srila Vyasadeva. No one else would come even close to that. So he went after the, and then he would not come, you know. So he realized the only way to get him back is through appealing to Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had his key disciples, while Sukadeva Goswami's ear short, he could hear some key verses that describing the transcendental attributes of Sukadeva Goswami, of Sri Krishna. And his sweetness, his extreme beauty, is the source of entire beauty in the entire universe, you know. So when he heard these three key verses, immediately Sukadeva Goswami came. Otherwise, he had no business. He was in such a blissful Brahman realization state, completely blissful, you know. He was free from all kind of thoughts, feelings like that, you know. So he was completely free from any body-mind complex, actually, you know. So that is, he was at that time, you know. So that is what exactly what Sukadeva Goswami is, this 12, 12, 69 verse says that when doing this with Goswami, that he was in a completely blissful state of Brahman realization. But when he heard this, the transcendental attributes of Krishna and his sweet beauty, description of that, attracted. So even the Atmaramas who are self-satisfied, they also get attracted. So that clearly shows that he was in Brahman realization. So Brahman realization is inferior to Bhagavan realization. That's the beauty part of it, that we should understand that. So that is what really Jiva Goswami established that. So Krishna actually revealed himself through Srimad Bhagavatam verses directly within the very heart of Sukadeva Goswami. See that this trans-empirical way of revelation, you know, there's the medium of revelation. So now, that's where now Jiva Goswami is analyzing what Srila Vyasadeva saw in his samadhi, the super cognitive samadhi. He was revealed everything directly by Krishna within his heart. You know. Then he set out to revise what he had already written in Srimad Bhagavatam, as he was ordered by Narad Muni, his spiritual master. Okay, so that's we go through that. Okay, so next PowerPoint. Okay, so here, what I've done here, so the main principles derived from these two sections are summarized by this the author of that I've been following, Tattva Sandarbha. One of the three books I've been following is Satyanarayan Prabhu, a very, very scholarly written, and he is also a great devotee, actually, the devotee in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And he actually originally was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada also, actually. Anyway, so he summarizes. So there are 8 points actually. So first 6 points are all about Sambandha Tattva, you know. And first we'll read that the highlights, six highlights, and then I will sort of recap those key verses that describe the samadhi, what he saw in his samadhi. Okay. So the first highlight is subject to be realized. That is Sambandha Tattva. Srimad Bhagavatam is, of course, Sri Krishna. And the subject to reality, Sri Krishna, is the original person, Swayam Bhagavan. So we are not talking about Krishna's expansion. We are talking about the original personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. Vrindavan Krishna, I keep saying so many times. And third point, he is inherently self-endowed with variegated potencies. So what Srila Vyasadeva saw, Krishna is the expansions, and also he saw Krishna, when you say Krishna, he is never alone. He is with all his devotees, and also his paraphernalia. So his potencies, his energies, chakti, the intrinsic internal potency, then there is an external extrinsic potency. Internal potency is again subdivided into three further groups. That's called Swarupa Shakti, you know, Sandini Shakti, Samavit Shakti, and Ladini Shakti. And then extrinsic potency is Maya Devi. So, Srila Vyasadeva also saw Maya also there, Krishna's Maya potency, who would not even come in front of Krishna. She was so ashamed, actually. Because her role was to take his devotees away from him. And there's a reason for that, because his devotees, before that, they were in material consciousness, and materially wanted to enjoy it, that simply cannot happen to Krishna. So she had to forget Krishna, take them away from Krishna. That is the reason, you know. So that she was, and she's a great devotee, herself is a great devotee of Krishna, you know. So she was feeling very ashamed. She would remain in the back, in the shadow of Krishna, actually. That's what Vyasadeva saw that. And yet she would bewilder the living entities. So we'll see the actual verses about that. Yeah? And then there is an intermediary potency or marginal potency, and that is the living entities. He also saw the living entities being suffering the bewilderment by the Maya because of their material consciousness. their futile efforts to enjoy material, you know. Then he also saw, actually, the remedial measure also, he saw that, and that is a devotional service, you know. So Maya is external womb, she functions actually under his direction, Krishna's direction, but cannot control him. So Maya could bewilder the jivas, but Maya could not have any influence over the Supreme. In fact, Supreme controls the Maya, you know, and that's why it's called Tadapashrayam, you know. And the fifth point, Prakriti, that is Maya, and the third is Jiva, interrelationship between all these three. And that is what these 6 points talk about, elaboration of this Sambandha Tattva. So Jivas, although integrated conscious part of Paramatma, are causelessly and beginninglessly bound by Maya. So there is no, you cannot say at what point Jivas came under the control of Maya. That is from time immemorial, Prabhupada used to say that. And that is conditionally bound by Maya. And Jiva cannot become free from Maya's influence on its own, on their own, actually, you know. And that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Deviyesham Punamai Mama Maya Drutaya. Mama Maya Drutaya means it's very, very difficult to transcend. Unless Mam Yo Prapadyante, one who surrenders unto me, devotional service, Mayam Etam Tarantita, they become free. So on our own, we can never become free from Maya. So that is the strong grip of Maya on us, actually. As long as we are in this material conscious. So we cannot become free from material, but we can transform material consciousness into Krishna consciousness. You know. So that is so these 6 points, I'll just mention, we'll reiterate those three verses. Srimad Bhagavatam, key verse 1.7, so Canto 1, Chapter 7, verse 4 through 8. Srila Jivasmai quotes that, actually, that describes what he actually saw in his samadhi. Okay, let's first go through all these 8 points. That's point 7 and 8, next point. So, point 7. Is the unconditional turning and awareness in devotional. So this the so now not only Srila Vyasa saw the living entities were bewildered and suffering, material sufferings, but he also saw the remedy for that. What is the solution to that? First we saw the Sambandha Tattva in the first 6 points, and now we see the Abhidaya Tattva. So this unconditional surrender, turning of our awareness in devotional surrender is the jiva's only means of ultimate attainment, ultimate relief from this misery, you know. So that is Abhidaya Tattva. And the final 8th point is this Prayojana Tattva. Supreme goals, perfection, you know. So when you turn in devotional service, that ultimately perfection leads to culmination into the Krishna Prema, the ultimate goal, divine love of Krishna, you know. So these are the 8 points actually that summarized by the author of this Tattva Sandarbha. And very nicely summarized. So exactly I put it here, you know. And then the point here. So what are those, let me, before we go to the bullet, what is written here. So here, let me read this. While describing Vyasa Samadhi, Jiva Goswami uses logic and scriptural reference to decisively refute the two primary doctrines, that is the Mayavadi theory, to its sannyasi. So his mind was completely fixed in this. Speed of Krishna, and he was completely free from all material contamination. Samyak pranihite amale, amal means this, completely free from all material contamination. And then what did he say? Apashyat, he saw what did he see? That purusham purunam. So he saw the personality, the supreme person, purunam. He was a complete person, you know. And then there are other verses also there which says that he is the complete person. He is the supreme person. And some verses then see that also Purusham, from the very beginning of the universe, you know, is there. Maya also, Mayam cha apashram, tad apashram. So Maya was separate energy of Krishna and yet completely supported by Krishna. So that is the first verse he quotes, 174. And then let's see, so first he introduces about the supreme person. He is the complete person. Complete person and is primeval, okay? Then he also introduces external potency. Now he introduces internal, this intermediary potency. The tattva right here actually. So the next verse, yaya sammohita jiva. So yaya means by whom? By the maya. Sammohita, maya bewilders the jivas who are actually constitutionally free, transcendental. Atmanam tri gunat. So Atmanam means this is original constitutive nature as a soul, a spirit soul is completely transcendental. And yet, because of Maya's bewilderment, because they are in material consciousness, paro api manyate nanartham, na anartham, because they are in this material mode of this material consciousness, because they misidentify themselves. This body as the self, you know, misidentify themselves as the body, you know, the bodily conception of life. Because of that, they are suffering. Tat kritam cha avipadyate. That is why they are suffering in this material world. So very clearly show that the jiva tattva, how they are bewildered by Krishna's external potency, Maya, you know. Why? Because they are in this bodily conception of life, and because of their futile effort to enjoy materially. And then what is the remedy? He sees the remedy in this verse. The next verse is the 6176. Anathopasavam shakshat bhakti yogam adokshate. Lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvada samitai. So that is why this anathopasavam, misery is doing it, is are experiencing because of Maya's bewilderment. That can be extinguished. The fire can be extinguished, abolished, nullified simply by being engaged in the bhakti yogam adokshaya unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond sense perception. And this simple fact is totally unknown to the mass of people, lokasya janato. And that is the reason why this vidvans, this learned personality, Srila Vyasadeva, compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, lokasya janato vidvam chakre satvada samhita. That is the reason why he compiled that. So now, in this, here the bhakti is mentioned is actually sadhana bhakti, because you know, because they are suffering from material miseries, you know, so they are not perfected here. But in the first verse, that is so bhakti yogena manasi, that Vyasadeva was in pure bhakti level. Now the next verse, the 177 actually, yasyam shruyamanayam Krishna Param Bhakti Rupapadyate Bhumsaha Shoka Moha Bhaya Apaha. So when this living entity actually simply oral reception, simply hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, simply hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then what happens? Krishna, the bhakti in his heart, the seed of bhakti already there in his heart, germinates unto them that bhakti towards Supreme Person. So here see Krishna Param Purusha, he is a Supreme Person. First complete person, then he is a Supreme Person here mentioned right there. You know? But this bhakti is actually now pure bhakti, because only pure bhakti, you get this shoka moha bhaya apaha, becomes free from all the lamentation, illusion and fear. And then what happens? The final, the fifth verse is called that, 178. You know? Sa samitam, that's the reason why Srila Vyasa compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. Sa samitam Bhagavatam, you know, that's why sa means he compiled, samitam compiled, cha atmajam. Atmajam means his self-born. So his son, his own son, he is taught, his Bhagavatam is his own son, Sukadeva Goswami. Sukam adhyapayam, adhyapayam means he's taught him. Sukadeva Goswami, this particular Srimad Bhagavatam. And who was Sukadeva Goswami? Nivritti Nirtam Muni. He was already self-realized, as we just heard from his history, you know. So Sukadeva Goswami is a personal recipient of the Bhagavatam, is the first speaker of Bhagavatam. So first, this five verses really very adequately, very nicely describes what Srila Vyasadeva saw, and this describes the Sambandha Tattva also, you know. That's the reason I liked about this, you know. Okay, so now we'll go to the. So then we'll go to the bullet point that I showed you before. So in that process, now how much time we have? We have enough time. So after describing that 29 to text 49, in the next section. So during that section, he also described how the Mayavadis come up with theory, these two main theories, this Pratibimba Vada and this Parichyada Vada. Parichyada Vada means that division. So these two theories, they are attempting to explain the origin of the Jivas, the living entities, and Ishvara from Brahman. Because they believe only thing, only that exists, reality, is Brahman. Supreme Brahman, and they themselves describe this Brahman is indivisible, it cannot be divided, you know? Indivisible is free from all any kind of differentiation, it is also nirguna nirakara, does not have a form, it is free from all the different gunas, you know, nirguna nirakara, and yet they are saying that this Brahman, when comes into contact, so this indivisible Brahman can become divided by, in the Parichyadvada theory, delimitation theory, that it becomes divided because of the Upadhi. What is Upadhi? Upadhi means the one which is in close proximity of something that superimposes its own qualities on that thing which does not have that quality. So Brahman is free from this gunas, but it acquires this conditional state because of this upadhi, because of this being in proximity of this subtle and gross bodies of the jivas, you know, and that is why it becomes now jivas. That's what they are saying, that, you know. So what they are saying, because Maya, and what they are saying, Maya also composed of both Vidya and Avidya both. So these two theories of Mayavadi philosophy, three ways. One, he points out very clearly the absurdity behind these proposals, what they talk about. They are self-built in contradictions there, you know, ridiculous things that they are saying that. First, they are saying the Brahman is indivisible, and yet they are saying that it is divided, and it becomes delimited because of the upadhis. But jivas. And same jivas, some of the jivas, when they get vidya potency, when they study Vedanta Sutra, then they become back to Brahman, you know. both acquiring the knowledge of the Brahman and also practice of the austerities and penance. Then they can become. So Krishna can become jivas and jivas can become Krishna, both, you know. So there is no difference what they are saying that. So first he refutes by pointing out the absurdities, and the second way, then actually quoting. So there is a negative way of proving wrong then by showing the absurdities, and then the positive way also he shows by showing that what Vyasa saw in his samadhi totally completely contradicts because there Vyasa saw that there is a fundamental difference. Distinct jivas are distinct from that of the Supreme. Jivas are bewildered by Maya, where Supreme controls Maya, you know, very clearly. You know. So there is a distinctness, also there is a similarity. Similarity is Supreme, absolute, is supremely conscious, eternal conscious, where Jiva is also conscious but in a very atomic size, you know. So there is a distinctness and similarities out there. So that completely contradicts what they are saying, what the Mayavadis are saying. The same way Pratibimba Vadi also, there they are saying that just like Parichheda Vada, Cheda means to divide, to cut to pieces and so on like that. So Brahman, the portion of the Brahman becomes Jivas, you know, so that's it becomes. In a Pratibimba Vada, what they are saying, the Brahman becomes reflected. Because when in a Parichheda Vada theory came about, they met this criticism how the indivisible Brahman can become divided, although they are saying because of Upadhi. But that is inconceivable what they are saying, you know. The Jiva rules out even the Upadhi, considered either real or illusion, you know. Both ways he refutes that, you know. And then he points out positively by showing Shri Vyasadeva's what he saw in his samadhi, you know. And third way, so when the Mayavadis also quote some analogies, and he even rules out the analogies also not being appropriate. Just like one analogy saying that the Maha Akasha versus Ghat Akasha, this great sky, when you see in a little parts here, earthen parts, it seems the sky is divided into the small parts. Giant, gigantic sky, you see limited in the parts. And say Pratibim Vada, sky is reflected in the small parts, you know what they're saying. So there again, Jiva Goswami is pointing out how is it possible, because sky in reality is nothing but space. What you see reflection or what you see divided into small parts is actually the luminary aspects within the sky, like sun, moon, stars, those luminous objects that you see that. The sky itself is just a space. How can it be there? The same with Brahman is what they themselves say, Brahman does not have any form. Nirguna, Nirakara, without any color, nothing like that. So how can something which does not have a form can reflect itself here in this bodies? So that also proves out, you know. And so there is their analogies are also, the Jiva Goswami proves that they are inadequate, because a truly appropriate analogy should be as similar as possible to one which you are comparing with, which is not yet. So here it's like comparing apples and oranges, you know. So this is the way he rules out that. And the third way is what he points out. So when you rule out the Mayavadis, because Mayavadis also quote Shruti Shastra in support of their notion, their doctrine. So when you rule out Mayavadis as inconceivable, then basically you are ruling out the Vedic scriptures also, which is not right. So now Jiva Goswami has to come with the explanation over that. So there he is saying that it is what they are quoting, the Shruti Shastra, Vedanta and so on like that, is actually their misinterpretation. And there he actually quotes the verse, some verses with when a prag, each statement in Vedas carries two different kinds of meanings. One, there's a direct meaning, but when the truth does not make sense, as it does not make sense here, as he pointed out, then you have to accept the secondary meaning. So that's how he takes a statement, then points out the doubts of it, and then he corrects that doubt and brings out his own Siddhanta principles, you know. So this is the way, this is the proper the second section. This is the fundamental characteristic. So what is this, this Tattva Jnana, the supreme eternal consciousness, what is its fundamental characteristics? You know, how to understand that? So by first, by understanding it's the individual consciousness, the Jiva Tattvas, and then also content, so that is a micro, and then there is a understanding the totality by the material cosmic manifestation, by the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's comparing with the totality. So yasti is nirdesha from the individual, and then samasti is nirdesha from the totality. So let's talk about this. The second part, the fundamental characteristics of eternal supreme consciousness, one without second, Tattva Jnana, based on the description of the 10 topics of Mahapurana. Now, this we discussed not too long ago, so this must be quite kind of fresh in your memory. You know? But let's just touch the highlights. So this is in text 50 to 63, all the way to the end of it. So Jiva Goswami begins the elaboration of Sabat Tattva now. First he gave the introduction of it, that in this verses. Now he's going to talk in great detail. And now he's going to continue the Sabandha to the next Sandarbha also. Sandarbha, all the way there. You know, and Paramatma Sandarbha also. So here, the description of the subjective reality is divided into two primary sections. Text 50 to 55, he demonstrates how the supreme reality can be understood in relation to this microcosm, the individual consciousness being the Jivas. He first shows in text 50 to 52 that the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam is the non-dual supreme reality, and then again he quotes the 1-11, you know, that's the Vadanti Tattva Vidas verse, you know, Vadanti Tat Dhyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatma Eti Advan Eti Shabde. And then text 53 to 55 he explains, Jiva Goswami explains nature of the Jivas being an integral part of Brahman. He emphasizes that understanding this conscious entity between the Jivas and Brahman is the initial step towards realizing the Absolute Truth. Again, we saw that Srila Jiva Goswami quotes that Vedanta Sutra verse also, and also he quotes the one of the Yogendras, his teachings to King Nimi. The two verses, the quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, explain that. Okay. And then, text 56 onwards, he examines the nature of the subjective reality in relation to the macrocosm. So from the individuality, now he goes to totality. And that's where the 10 subjects matter of Srimad Bhagavatam comes into play. And again, there also from two separate perspectives, from Sukadeva's perspective and from Sutta Goswami's perspective. They are very similar from a different angle of vision, actually. Very similar. And there I just summarize that Sukadeva Goswami in Canto 2, he describes this first 9 topics to actually extend the 10th topic, the Ashraya Tattva. And as we went to those 10 subjects, Sutta Goswami also shows the same 10th Tattva but calls different names and in different order, but ultimately he also says the first 9 topics are meant to understand the 10th topic, the Ashraya Tattva, which he calls the Apashraya Tattva. Alright. That's the final point. Enough time for discussion. Final PowerPoint. Since this we already discussed very recently, I'm not going that detail. So final point is, what is the conclusive highlights, the take-home message, the entire Tattva Sandarbha. And we need to remember very clearly, while next week we'll be beginning this module 2, Bhagavad Sandarbha, you know. So that's why it's very, very important. These two points are very, very important point. First, the three so in the Brahmana Kanda, right? Srimad Bhagavatam is not merely a book. So this is the most important point. Srimad Bhagavatam is not merely a book contained. attaining valid knowledge of the absolute truth or ultimate reality, but it actually qualifies the reader, us, not just Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami, but even we in this world, you know, today's world, we can also become qualified, and those who hear, to directly perceive the reality by this trans-empirical means of revelation Krishna does. So if we develop proper qualifications, you know, by simply and hearing Bhagavatam itself purifies our heart. You know, Shrimadam Sokata Krishna Puni Shravana Kirtana, remember that famous verse? I know. So Krishna sitting in the heart is super soul. He cleanses our heart when we simply hear about him. Shrimadam Svakatha Krishna Puni Shravana Kirtana Vidunoti Shruvatsatam. So that he cleanses our heart and removes all greed. Just a prayasha bhadreshu nityam bhavat sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavati naisti. So he purifies our heart, greed, stink, dirt in our heart. He removes that. And though the dirt, the six kinds of vices, is because of the lower modes of material nature, what is kama krodha lobha mada matsara, it's because the modes of passion and ignorance. So he replaces that with that of mode of goodness. So when we come to the mode of goodness, in that, then we actually really begin to practice pure devotional service, only in the mode of pure goodness actually. And then we become qualified to receive the Tattva Vidyana, the science of Krishna. Krishna's Swarupa Shakti actually enters in our heart, you know. The Samavit Shakti, Sandini Shakti, and Ladini Shakti, Krishna himself, the Swayam Krishna, the original Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, comes not just super souls, the super soul's role, as we have seen, Paramatma Sandarbha, super soul's role is only material manifestation, only when to how to exist in material world, super soul acts. But when we become qualified to go back to spiritual world, then Swayam Krishna takes part in our heart. He himself comes, his Swarupa Shakti actually enters in our heart, and he reveals himself, self-reveals himself within our heart. Then what happens? Then Bhagavad Tattva Vijnana develops. This science of Krishna develops, you know, who Krishna really is. And then Vidyadhiradaya Grandhya Chintyata Sarva Samshaya. All the pre-existing doubts completely removes that. And this tight note of matter and spirit, this tight propensity we have to enjoy, materially enjoy, which we cannot do ourselves, it completely shatters that, you know. The tight note with matter and spirit. We are spirit soul, but we have this enjoying mentality we have, material enjoying mentality is completely destroyed. On our own, we cannot do that. And then all the karmic bondage accumulated over millions of lifetimes is completely shattered. Shyate chasa karmani. And drasht evatman ishvara, then we become spiritual entities. We know we are not these bodies, we are spirit soul. So that very, that thing, because of we are in material, only conceptual, that's the reason why the Maya grips us, you know. So Maya cannot grip us. And because Swarupa Shakti entered, Maya cannot act in presence of Swarupa Shakti, you know, Krishna Swarupa Shakti. Then we realize we are actually meant to serve Krishna. First we are spiritual body and we are meant to serve Krishna. So that action comes into our heart and we are now become qualified to go into spiritual world. So that is the whole entire message of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam is all about that. How to become free, not only become free from this material world, but to actually become part of Krishna, you know, enter in this pure Krishna Prema. So that is what I'm going to end. So what is Bhagavan? Now we are going to learn in much greater depth. Bhagavad Sandarbha. Bhagavad Sandarbha is all about that. Bhagavad means all about Bhagavan and his devotees. You know? So that, and all his potencies, all his associates, and his paraphernalia, all his potencies, that is before we are going to learn, we are going to hear his depth. So Tattva Sandarbha is just a beginning, just an introduction. All the topics that are mentioned, each of them is going to be expanded at great depth actually. And beginning with this, Bhagavad Sandarbha, and I'm really, really, I can hardly wait to begin our next week. Just I'm counting my hours, days, you know. So with that, first of all, I'm very, very grateful to my teammates who have been helping me, assisting me to conduct these courses, and all of you also very patiently putting up with me and very attentively hearing me. And I'm looking forward, very anxiously looking forward, that all of you will be together with me. Also, please, my humble request, just spread the word around. You know, you'll be doing a great service. You know, if you spread around the words about this course, as many people who can hear the supreme message now, it's going to be tremendous, tremendous devotional service under the Krishna also is preaching. You know, and that is what this is. This is what great beauty about this Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So wonderful. Preaching is the prime directive of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I'll stop here and see if there are any questions, comments. Hari Bol Krishna. Govinda Mahadushan Tamam Bhaja. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Krishna. Sharad Prabhu, at my end, there were interruptions in audio many times during the class. Repeated logging, often connecting, did not receive the problem, resolve the problem completely. This may be the because of my past karma. However, please explain about the point of reflection and division delimitation. Theories of the Mayavadis by example. I want to hear from them again. I will go through the complete lecture after downloading it. Okay, Prabhuji, I will explain that. But let me, before I go again, let me see if there are any more questions. Other things that I can tell you. This is going to take several minutes, you know, if I go through again. But I don't mind. I will explain you again. Any other questions, comments? Before I try to answer and explain these two theories of Mayavadi theories, and to explain of Jivas and Ishvara questions. Can you touch on three levels of bhakti? Yeah. This is discussed, I believe that what you are asking is this three levels of bhakti described by Rupa Goswami, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Second question was, did anyone else other than Srila Vyasadeva had super cognitive samadhi? To my knowledge, no. The kind of samadhi that Vyasadeva had is unique, actually, really. Yes, okay, he wants to know about sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. First, sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means if we don't have a natural affection for Krishna, then we need to develop, cultivate by practice. Anything that we don't have, we need to practice, right? But how do we practice? So there is a very potent way of practicing that is listed by Srila Rupa Goswami. And that is by actually engaging our senses. Because the senses which are materially oriented cannot appreciate that first, no? So first we have to engage the senses. So that's why that verse, famous verse is there, you know, that you know, that when senses are not engaged in Krishna's service, then they do not appreciate, you know. So example is given that jeev is, but tongue, when tongue is chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, or tasting Krishna Prasadam, then certainly we realize, you know, the supreme nature of Krishna, you know. So, how do we engage our senses? So, we have to engage our senses in Krishna's service, and according to the Vedic injunctions, there are Vedic rules and regulations that we have to follow, and under the bona fide guidance of a spiritual master, So these are the three basic elements of sadhana bhakti. So when we do that, then this this natural affection of Krishna, we develop and we come to raga bhakti. Then we develop attachment for Krishna actually. And raga bhakti leads on to develop a bhava bhakti. When we come to bhava bhakti, so there are nine stages also that is there, you know, from Shraddha to Prema actually. That also is directly connected with that. And I'm not going to go into details on that. But this, when we start engaging our senses in Krishna's service and bhakti, there are so many 64 angas of bhakti actually, items, you know. Even simply going to the temple and just paying for obeisances to the deities itself is one of the angas of devotion. There are five most potent items. That is one, by chanting the holy name. You know, there is no difference between the Krishna name and Krishna himself. By chanting the holy name, by sadhu sangha, by associating with the devotees actually, by bhagavat, nityam bhagavat sevaya, by regularly hearing bhagavatam classes as we are hearing now actually, and studying the book Bhagavata also, you know, those who are devotees. So book Bhagavata and personal Bhagavata, devotees also, you know. So that is that. And then deity seva means offering bhogas and then taking remnants as prasadam, you know, and dressing the Krishna deities and so on like that, you know. So that is a deity seva. And then there is a stay in the dhamma. So wherever we discuss Krishna, that becomes Vrindavan. So we have to develop more than actually physical stay. That's also important, but actually the spirit of that, the Vrindavan spirit that we need to develop. So that is the dhamma actually, holy dhamma, you know. So these five are the most potent facts. They say that even a neophyte can become a pure devotee by that, you know. Okay, so these are the basic elements, very quickly summarizing in sadhana bhakti. Then what happens? Then all slowly anarthas all going away actually. All the basic dirt in our heart is purified by Krishna, you know, by the act of devotional service. And then we become at the stage where we become truly engaged in pure bhakti without any ulterior kind of motives, material motives, you know. Then at a point will come, Krishna Swarupa Shakti enters in our heart actually. And that is Swarupa Shakti means Sandini Shakti, Samavit Shakti, and Ladini Shakti. Sandini Shakti is the eternality of the bhakti. So if it's even a little bit bhakti done, it always stays and it always makes progress all the way till perfection. Then the Samavit Shakti, that is the Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam develops in our heart actually. The science of Krishna develops, you know. And then the bliss, Ladini Shakti, you know. So then at that point the power develops. First the Shraddha, then Shraddha, then get Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha develops the bhakti, then bhakti develops that, and then it goes develop the unique attachment for that raga, then all these different stages goes after that. You come to the point, you become bhava, means to melt. Bhava is the penultimate stage before you become perfection of prema bhakti actually. So that bhava bhakti, you just begins, it's compared with the, like a ray of sun, relative to the sun itself, you know. So that's what happens actually. We develop great power, all the anarthas completely gone now, and then the prema bhakti develops actually. Ultimate, the end result of that, tremendous love develops actually. Now, I discussed it much great length in Chaitanya Charitamrita when we discuss about the Sikshashtakam verse. Very nicely explained that in Sikshashtakam verse, exactly all the stages. Okay, Sudha Bhakti Mataji. Who are Nitya Bhattas, Nitya Siddhas? To which category they belong? Nitya Bhattas, Nitya Siddha. Nitya Siddha means the eternally liberated souls. Those who, when Krishna descends, his associates from the spiritual world also descends with him to assist him in his pastimes actually. So like Srila Prabhupada, you know, that kind of personalities, they do not come in this material world because of karmic bondage, like most of they come purely to assist Krishna in preaching Krishna consciousness, to help us to come to the public platform, you know. So those persons, they are Nitya Siddha, always liberated. Eternal condition doesn't mean that there is no hope for that. Eternal means that it means this cycle of creation, that cycle, these people are there. That what they mean, one of the 10 topics that we talked about in the age, this chance is given to become liberated right in this cycle also, you know. So that is a relative term actually, you know. Then there is a Kripa Siddha also by the mercy directly from Krishna or his devotee through that we become liberated also actually. So different classes of liberation is there. You know. We don't have to last till the complete cycle, or we don't have to enter the next cycle also. Once we become Krishna conscious, then we become qualified. And simple easiest way is to chant Hare Krishna, associate with the devotees actually, you know, and simply hearing Bhagavatam, you know, it's a great benefit of simply hearing Bhagavatam. So that five verses that I keep repeating myself, Krishna directly cleansing our heart, you know, and replacing those lower modes of material nature with more of goodness, then we become qualified to come to pure bhakti level. Then bhakti tattva vijnanam develops, and bhagavat tattva vijnanam leads to all the abolishment of the these hriday granthis, matter and spirit, all the karmic bondage dissolves, all the doubts gone, and then we become the spiritual, we regain our spiritual identity, you know, so on like that. So this is what basic description of this Nitya Baddhas, Nitya Siddhas. Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna also talks about that. If Jiva and Brahman, same and different both, unity and diversity, same in the sense that we are also conscious entities like Krishna, but we are tiny conscious entities. But Krishna is the supreme consciousness, eternal consciousness, you know. We are eternal souls also, you know. Satchit Ananda also, we are that way. But we are distinct, we become bewildered because we are minute. So we oscillate between Krishna's external potency and Krishna's internal potency. When we become attracted by Krishna's external potency, then we become conditioned by the three modes of material nature. When we become devotee, then we come under the shelter of Krishna's internal potency, Sharupa Shakti, then Maya cannot touch us actually now. So Jiva and Buddha in Brahman, in that sense, same and different. Alright? Sanjeev Prabhuji, Naveen Prabhuji, if Puranas. If Puranas are apaurushaya, who are they commonly categorized as smritis? Shouldn't they be recognized as shrutis? Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is part of Shruti, but it is represents directly Krishna. So it is above all this thing. Krishna is the origin of all the Vedic knowledge actually. You know, so that means Bhagavatam is completely on a separate category actually. You know? That is the most important point that I was making that here. Bhagavatam is completely different in that sense. Okay. It is not different from Krishna, you know, as the actually, you know. Krishna Swadhama Upagate, Dharma Jnana Adibis, Kalau Drashta, Kalau Nashta Drashama Esha, Purana Ko Arthanadita. So when Krishna left for his planet, Kolokundan Dham, left his planet, and along with also all the religious principles and the knowledge, everything went away. So question was that who is going to take care of that in this dark Kali Yuga? So he says this dark dense Kali Yuga, that is removed, darkness removed by the son of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is going to serve exactly like as if Krishna is present here. So Krishna comes in the form of the sound vibration. You know? So that's why apaurushya means it is the divine origin. So this knowledge of Krishna comes straight directly the spiritual world directly within our heart. So there is no question of Shruti or Smriti. Both Shruti and Smriti, everything comes from the common source, as we just heard, directly from Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. That's why it's a portion of divine origin. Gopi Prabhu is here. The main objective of Jiva Goswami in writing Tattva Sandarbha is to establish difference between Mayavadi philosophy and Vaishnava philosophy and establish position of sales. Sudev to Goswami, so that one is ready to hear Bhakti Bhagavad Sandarbha. This is correct. You know, the main purpose. Here, Tattva Sandarbha is, of course, an introduction to all this rest of the Sandarbhas, but there are two main purposes here that we saw in two sections, Pramana Khanda and Pramaya Khanda. Pramana Khanda is basically to establish what is the best way, best pramana, best evidence to understand the ultimate reality, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, Absolute Truth, and that Srimad Bhagavatam. So, is to actually show us the supreme authority, Vedic authority in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know? And this this expression of this Mayavadi philosophy is just a sideways came into the objective here. You know? So it's not a main objective of difference between Mayavadi philosophy and Vaishnava philosophy. It's just the side thing, you know. And establish position of Srila Sukadeva Goswami so that one is ready to hear Bhakti. That is, yes, exactly. That second thing point you mentioned out, that's the main purpose here. To actually introduce the Abhidhaya Tattva actually from that and to ultimately develop this prayojan, you know, to attain the supreme goal to develop Krishna Prema. That is the purpose of Tattva Sandarbha. So Tattva Sandarbha is basically an introduction to the rest of the Sandarbhas, which is going to great detail, is going to show us who is Jiva Tattva, who is Paramatma, who is Bhagavan, and so on like that. Ultimately, there are six books. Tattva Sandarbha is just the first book. And then the second book that we are going to study, the second module, there is a Bhagavad Sandarbha, which is all about the Bhagavan. Because the Absolute Truth, we just heard about this 1 to 11 verse, the Bhagavad Vedanti Tattva Vajas verse actually, showing that Brahma Yeti Paramatma Yeti Bhagavan Yeti Shabda Yeti. So that Bhagavan is the highest realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the Bhagavan. So he talks about Bhagavan and his associates and so on like that. And then the third Sandarbha is Paramatma Sandarbha. It's all about the super soul aspect of it. And Jiva Tattva is being the part of the super soul actually. It's also the time potency and how super soul plays a role, the cosmic manifestation and the maintenance of manifestation. So that Paramatma Sandarbha talks about all about that. You know, lot new things you are going to hear about that. And then comes Krishna Sandarbha, the fourth book. That is about the identifying Bhagavan as Sri Krishna himself. And then moving on, come to the Abhidhaya Tattva Bhakti Sandarbha. Details about Bhakti, you know, that we are going to hear about that. Very much great details about it. And finally, Priti Sandarbha, the Krishna Prema. You know. So that's how it goes, you know. So the position of Shodaya Goswami, so that one is ready to hear Bhakti Bhagavad Sandarbha. Correct. Mayavadi, between Mayavadi philosophy and Vaishnava philosophy, it's just the side thing came about in that. Thank you. Alright. Thank you very much. If there are no further questions, let us conclude the class with prayers, the Srimad prayer by Dishana, and I'm very, very grateful to Dishana. No. Dishana, beta, let's start that. Hare Krishna.
Namaste, Narishi. Namaste. Narasimhaya Pranade. Hiranyakashipu